Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Players Only, Thursday nights at 6 o'clock on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Here's the bad boy from Bayonne.
Chiefs do such a great job of pre-snap movement, shifts, and motions to declare what the defense is doing.
Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Danon Hughes.
What's going on, Chiefs Kingdom? This is Danon Hughes. This is Players Only. And this is our last show of the season. It's been an absolute blast this entire year. We had some ins and outs due to basketball and bye weeks and all that other stuff. But we had a nice stream of several shows leading into the Super Bowl. So I've been happy with this entire season. I just completed my fifth year in the booth. And coincidentally, this is the end of the fifth season of Players Only. So got to give a shout out to Steven Spector for allowing me on the air. Julio for being the anchor behind the scenes. Guys like Sean Barber, Keith Cash, Kendall Gammon, Bill Moss, several guys, Mark Bullrichter, and hopefully I haven't missed anybody. Definitely Barbershop. Got to give a shout out to my brother for always supporting and coming in studio and hanging with me and chopping it up and hopefully entertaining all you folks out there. Again, this is Danon Hughes. You can follow me on Instagram at DAHughesGuy83. I'm sorry, on X at DAHughesGuy83 and on Instagram at Danon Hughes. Because this is the final show, we had an unfortunate weekend at the Super Bowl down in New Orleans. I want this show to be the most interactive show that we've had thus far. So the text lines are open, 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. Phone lines, text lines are open. And I am going, I would like, because I want this show to be the most interactive show we've had for Players Only, the topics outside of just the game, your hangover effect from the game, if you want to share your testimony about the day of the game, your night of the game, maybe you had a party and how dull that party was, this is your opportunity to vent a little bit. But I'm also going to put something on the table, because in my hot fire, spit fire takes, and I know Julio, he's going to be a harsh judge because this is the final show, and darn it, you should be harsh on this show. We should be harsh in how we critique the Chiefs because we love them so much, and I expect Julio to be harsh in how he critiques my hot fire, spit fire takes. So the topics that I'm throwing out there, in addition to your feelings about the Super Bowl, are these: proper trash talk and cheering for your team. That's the topic I want you to chew on. I want you to marinate. Proper trash talk. Is there such thing as proper trash talk? And what's the dynamic of cheering for your team versus how you cheer or don't cheer for the opponents? And a blowout versus a close loss, your feelings on that. So those are just two topics. And then I got one additional that I'm going to throw in there on my feelings around the halftime show. But 913-586-7965 is the number. Text line, phone lines are open. Give me your feelings, your vibe, your hangover, your thoughts after it's marinated for several hours, several days, and now we can move into the next chapter of the offseason, free agency, preparation for the draft. What are needs that we need to fill? What are gaps that need to be filled? And players coming back and who should be extended and all that stuff. I know that's all the speculation, pontification of this entire offseason. So we can start it up as we end this show. But before we get into that, as we do in the first quarter of Players Only every week, we got to recap a little bit. We got some clips, some sound bites from guys. Now, unlike every other game during the season, I do not have the luxury, coming from the booth as the color analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network, I do not have the luxury of going down to the locker room and interviewing the players like I do every week, because we have to continue to carry the broadcast, Mitch Holthus and I, in the booth until the stage and the post game and everything's set up, even in a loss. So I did not have the benefit of going down to the locker room and interviewing any players. And to be quite honest, probably wasn't necessarily a good time to interview guys. Guys were not in the mood to have a microphone stuck in their face, even though that's part of the job. They are human. They lost the biggest game of their lives, an opportunity to make history. And you just got to feel for the personal side in that moment. And to be quite honest, I probably wouldn't have been as comfortable. I would have done my job and pulled aside guys like Justin Reed, Drew Tranquil, Nick Bolton. I know Travis is always generous with his time. But there are several guys. The entire offensive line are usually guys that, regardless win or loss, will stand in front of the microphone and be a professional. Trent McDuffie is another guy that is always awesome. I hate that I started naming names because I don't want any other guys to feel like they're not. But those are the main guys that win or loss, good game, bad game, good day, bad day, whatever, they will step up and be professional, while some other guys, not so much. I've shared about that in the past, won't go deeper into that, but from the locker room, from the platform, from the podium, we had a couple of interviews that we got, and obviously the big one is Travis Kelce, because after the Super Bowl, when he got back to his podcast and things were still settling in, he was still in his feelings. I'm sure that's still the case now. The big question was about what is he going to do going forward? Is it time to retire? Is it not? We got a little soundbite here, just a clip of some of the comments that he made around that.
Got to address on all three phases, and then on top of that, you know, turnovers, penalties, playing behind the sticks on offense is just drop passes, not taking advantage of, you know, the play call and executing. I mean, it's, there's a lot that goes into it. You don't lose like that without everything going bad. So
you were very emotional going to some of those guys.
What's
most shocking about this type of
game? That we haven't played that bad all year.
Did they do anything that surprised you guys at all and cut you off guard?
I know you talked about that before in these games where you got to keep everyone going on the sidelines. Is it difficult today?
I mean, just couldn't find that spark, couldn't find that momentum.
You had the point at which you kind of were going through the game, so many times you guys have been able to turn it around, Travis. Is there a point where you just, you know, knew that today you weren't going to be able to find that
look? I mean, this team is going to fight till the end forever, and you saw that even with the score late. We're always going to fight.
You talked to some of those guys over there and kind of found the guys you wanted to talk to. What was your message to them?
Congratulations.
I feel like at halftime was totally within reach.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, never lose doubt. Never lose faith, in, especially at half.
Travis, the pressure, how much
the team doesn't have to blitz, Travis, and they can just keep seven back. Just how difficult is that to sort of run your concepts the way you want them? The other team's getting pressure for just about every time.
I think there was a lot of things going wrong. Can't just say that it was just the O-line or anything like that. I think it was accumulated of everything, you know, not really going our way today.
What was Coach's message to you guys afterwards?
yeah, this one's gonna hurt. Let it hurt and figure out how to get better because of it. Have a good one, guys.
Yeah, that was Travis Kelce right after the game. Again, like I said, stand-up guy. As a superstar, to be that kind of stand-up guy, to stand in front of the mics, not shy away from them in the worst moment of his career. And I think we have to. I know sometimes fans and media don't want to attach humanity to these players, to these athletes. This is their career. Think about in your career, if someone was right in front of you, take out the money. For all the idiots out there that say it's about the money and they make enough to do this, there's a lot of CEOs, CFOs, et cetera, that make a lot of money that would never dare stand in front of a microphone and on their worst days be ready to talk for 2 or 3 minutes. And these guys do. Now, I'm speaking from an athlete. I know other people have different perspectives, and I can respect it, but also attach the humanity to these guys that I don't think gets attached enough, because we're entertained by them, because we minimize the fact that they play a game as their career. But if you put all the chips in the middle of the table, put all the marbles into something, your body, blood, sweat, and tears, and it doesn't go your way, whether it's your fault or not, whether it's your teammates' faults or not, there's an impact psychologically that happens during that time that now all of a sudden, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes after it's all said and done, somebody or some people is sitting and putting a microphone in your face, trying to get you to say something at times that you shouldn't, don't want to say, or trying to get a soundbite or poke the bear in a way that will be a soundbite for the rest of your life, not just your career. I made reference to the Allen Iverson talking about practice. That soundbite went on for the rest of his career and still is played. And then we found out after all the ridicule, all the mockery, all the denigrating of he and his name, we find out years later in a documentary that he had his best friend that died that day. And the whole premise behind, and we're talking about practice, was in his mind, I can't believe we're talking about practice, not a game that I give my life for, but we're talking about practices and what I do or don't do in practice. Meanwhile, I had a family member, a brother, that just died. So you put that into perspective. Sometimes we gotta go the extra length of the humanity factor, and that's what you heard from Patrick Mahomes. We got another soundbite from our leader and Patrick Mahomes.
Credit to the Eagles, man. They played better than us from start to finish. We didn't start how we wanted to. Obviously, the turnovers hurt. And, I mean, I take all the blame for that. I mean, just those early turnovers swing the momentum of the game, and then they capitalized on them, and they scored. I mean, they scored on the one, and then they got a touchdown immediately after. So that's 14 points that I kind of gave them, and it's hard to come back from that in the Super Bowl. And so just didn't play to my standard, and I have to be better next time.
Yeah, that's Patrick Mahomes, and I agree. I think both guys said a lot of truth. Obviously, the X's and O's factor, but not playing your best. There's been speculation I've heard from people that Patrick, his eyes didn't look right at the beginning of the game. Someone told me that he yawned right before the game. So there was a concern there that maybe they weren't locked in. You saw some of the clips of the body language on the sideline. Maybe some not necessarily 100% effort at different times by some guys running routes or being viable. All of those different things. I thought Patrick had a little bit more zip. I don't know if the adrenaline was a factor, but he threw the ball a little harder, short distances, than I think I had seen him do in the past. Those balls were thrown down in the dirt. It's kind of like if you've ever been a pitcher in baseball and you try to throw your hardest and you step down off the mound, where does that ball usually go? Down, spiked into the dirt, or sails over the head. So I thought, in essence, and it kind of goes into the question that I put on the board earlier. I know I hear you. I see you, Mason and Olathe and Dan and KCK will definitely get to you. The phone lines and the text lines are buzzing as well. But what I had mentioned earlier about the effect of this game, and specifically about these guys and the blowout versus the close loss. And I want to tackle that next. But we got those two clips. We're going to hear also from Travis Kelce later in the show, specifically what he did on his podcast and what he spoke about on his podcast regarding his retirement. Again, this is Players Only, the final show of the season. And we will be back after this with the hot fire, spitfire take. So make sure you get them in on the text line, and we'll get to you on the phone lines after that.
You're listening to Players Only with Dana Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
48 seconds to go in the third quarter. The Chiefs' deepest penetration of the game at the Eagles' 24-yard line. Moving to the right is Mahomes with two blockers in front of him. He throws late and for the end zone, and a sliding catch made. Touchdown, Kansas City. Coming back to the football, Xavier Worthy, and a 24-yard touchdown gets the Chiefs on the board at 34 seconds to go, third quarter.
Definitely one of the highlights from the Super Bowl. There were very few, obviously, in a 40-22 loss, but still highlights. And I was actually talking with my wife yesterday about different things that go on in life, and everything is a learning experience. And if you don't look for the learning experiences in good and bad things, especially when you have some adversity and you go through it to the height of what we saw at the Super Bowl, then you missed the opportunity. So I'm sure they will have an entire offseason, an entire summer, an entire preseason, and likely an entire regular season next year to kind of learn from this. And then after their careers are over, they will have a lifetime of thinking back of what they could or couldn't have done in this game to change the outcome, if there was ever anything that they could. Again, this is Dane and Hughes, Players Only. Phone lines, text lines open, 913-586-7965. There's a couple on here before I get to my hot fire, spitfire takes. A couple on here from the 785, Trey McDuffie. Might be the silliest that I've seen so far, but there's still time left in this show. You don't get rid of an all-pro and LeJarius Sneed to turn around 2 years later and get rid of the next all-pro that you were able to draft in the first round after giving up Tyreek Hill. I just don't think you do that, especially at a premium position like the corner, and his ability to be versatile inside, outside, on the blitz, and physical in the run game. Can we just chalk this up to one bad game, whether it's across the board with Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and guys like Trent McDuffie, if you want to lump him in there as well? One bad game does not mean that you just throw away talent like that. So, all right, from a hot fire, spitfire take, Julio.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Because I spit hot fire.
Woo. I'll call me super hot boy, 100 degrees, leather jacket, because I'm super hot, boy.
All right, so I got a couple of points I had mentioned in the beginning of this show. Proper trash talk versus cheering on your team. I want to hear from the listeners about this as well, because I do believe I was a big trash talker on the field. I am a person that truly believes that the best trash talk is done before the game, before a matchup, before any kind of situation. Because anybody can talk trash afterwards. Anybody. And I feel like I'm speaking to my family. I'm speaking to some friends. I'm speaking to guys I grew up with. I'm speaking to Philadelphia Eagle fans. There's even the nerve of people to be trash talking who were 49er fans. And I said, we not only did we beat y'all twice in your stadium during the regular season, we also beat you twice in the Super Bowl with this same team. It wasn't a decade ago or last century when you guys won Super Bowls. We're talking about recent history. So how in the world could you fix your mouth, your thumbs, if you speak to text, your tongue, to ever generate any kind of energy to talk trash about the Chiefs because we had our worst game on the biggest stage. I think there should be a protocol, Julio, to talking trash. The other factor that comes into play is your decorum in the stadium or as you're cheering your team on. Cheering your team versus booing another team. I don't understand the energy that fans have in volatile, in-your-face, disregarding of kids, disregarding of older fans, in not allowing them to enjoy the entertainment on the field because you feel, as a so-called fan, which we know fan is short for fanatic, as a so-called fan, that part of how you bought, part of why you bought your ticket was to be able to scream at the players on the field and scream at the fans that also bought tickets as well. And to you see the fights, you see the destruction of property, you see the near confrontations. My wife sat in the stands. I've heard from other fans and other friends that sat and could not understand the vitriol that was spewed at them as we were getting blown out in the Super Bowl. And this doesn't just happen, and I want to hear some from some of the fans because I don't want to sit up here, Julio, and act like I'm sitting on a perch that Chiefs fans are the best around and we don't have the idiots at times that do some of these things because I'm not in the stands. I haven't been in the stands for now 5 years since I've been in a booth. I'd like to think, based on a lot of testimony, that we are a classy organization, not just internally, but externally with our fans. And I personally can attest that I've never seen a Chiefs fan poke their nose or poke their finger in the face of an opponent, even Raider fans, even Bronco fans, even Bills fans, the rivalries, the Bengals fans, etc. I've never seen it personally. Maybe someone out there listening has, but the decorum and the attitudes that are carried from opposing fans. And how do you go to a game? How do you spend thousands and thousands of dollars on either season tickets or thousands and thousands of dollars at this specific game and consider the experience, part of the experience of I'm going to agitate every other fan that's in an opponent jersey because that's me cheering for my team, to make everyone else uncomfortable, to get as drunk as possible that I don't remember half the game, and then to when there are times where I've heard of parents turning around and asking guys, hey, can you tone it down a little bit? I have my 5-year-old son here. I have my 7-year-old son. This is our first game ever. This is my first experience with my child. This is our first Super Bowl that we've probably mortgaged our house for to get tickets. Can you tone down some of the negative speak and the cursing and all that just to be told no and to be cursed back at? So the proper trash talk to me, this is me standing on my perch right now, Julio. Cheer for your team. You can boo the other team, but don't turn it towards any other fans, especially fans with kids. Don't make it a violent or volatile situation because of a game that's being played on the field. And if by chance you are a person that talks trash in social media, you want more credibility, do it before the game. Anybody can do it after the game. Anybody can pile on after a loss or after you beat somebody. Show some guts. Don't be one of those people that are superstitious. I got friends like that. Talk your trash. Live on your perch on how you view your team and how good you think your team is and if they're good enough to win before the game, not after the game. Cheer on your team. Don't cheer against other people because they're cheering for their team. Woo. All right, my next one, Julio, real quick. I know we were up against the break. Blowout versus close loss. My personal opinion, and we'll open the phone lines, text lines open in quarter three and four. So Mason, Dan, Big T, please hold on. We got a bunch of text messages to get to as well. Part of me, a large part of me, seems to be okay with the blowout loss versus a close loss. Because I think the thought of how we would feel having lost a close game with history on the line is severely different than what we felt knowing the outcome basically as of the second quarter of this game. And I feel like if you're going to recognize that a team is better than you, if they are better than you in entirety, or if they're just better than you that day, you'd rather be just blown out and it be decisive as opposed to a back and forth game that comes down to a kick or a questionable penalty or what have you, and you wind up losing this biggest game of your life. So I understand from an entertainment, from a hosting, from food and beverage at your house, from travel, from Super Bowl pricing tickets and going to New Orleans and all that stuff, that's probably tougher to digest. But conventionally thinking, Julio, I feel like the blowout loss is something you can bounce back from quicker than the close loss. I still bear the burden of losing to the Indianapolis Colts in 1995, and that is 30 years ago. And I still get sick to my stomach thinking about that close loss where we missed a few field goals and we were the number one seed. And then in 97, beating the Broncos during the regular season just to lose another close game in the divisional round at home. Those two losses stick with me. I can't even remember any blowout losses that we had. That's how much you're able to wash those away. So that's my part in that. What do you think? Dang, Julio, you good, man. This is a great ending to the season for Players Only. 2 for 2 in hot fire, spitfire takes. When we come back, we got the phone lines, text lines open. We're going to tackle as much as possible for the final two segments.
Well, listen, we've got to do this. Let me hear you all say E-L-G-S-E-S, Eagles!
You're listening to Players Only with Dana Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, the
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And
Holmes stays in at quarterback, and he's going to go throw a long middle, trying to outrun the defense, and making the catch! Touchdown! Xavier Worthy against double coverage! An incredible throw by Mahomes, and as equally incredible run and catch of 50 yards. You mentioned the growth of Xavier Worthy. He's gone from being just a fast dude at the combine to a route runner and a tough catch maker.
That was Mitch Holthus. Definitely some takeaways, some positive takeaways from that Super Bowl, some things we know we can build on for the 2025 season. All right, we got the text lines, the phone lines open, 913-586-7965. Let's go to Mason from Olathe.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. How you?
Good, good, good.
What you got for me?
All right, man. I got a hot take for you, man.
All right.
I've let it marinate. I've let it marinate. I thought about it.
You setting it up real good. So shoot it out.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah. I got you. I got head on. Oh. So Chris Jones, Kelce, I think they're due. I think it's time to kick them. I think it's time to get them to boot. I think it's time. And next year, I don't say we tank, but I say that we prepare for an AFC championship loss. And I think it's time to start building our interior back up. I think our skills is good for the next about 3 years. We got Worthy on rookie. We got Rasheed still on a rookie. I think we start building up our interior and get ready for AFC championship loss.
All right, Mason, I appreciate that. Okay, so I stand corrected. Whoever texted earlier about trade McDuffie that I said was silly, Mason, I love you, brother, but that might been the craziest. That might have been the craziest call I've ever heard. And here, I should have prefaced this, Julio, by saying the callers and texters, I can appreciate and respect that you have an opinion, but here's what I would ask. If we would have won the game, would your take be the same? Because I would find it hard to believe, Mason, that you would be talking about rebuild, tanking, these are the words you used, rebuild, tanking, and losing in the AFC, prepare to lose in the AFC championship. That's what you said. You would say all of that and getting rid of our two of our three biggest stars because we won, and you would have wanted the same thing. So I guess I got to – I asked for what I asked for on the phone lines. I get what I get, but I'm going to vehemently disagree with that. But I can appreciate you holding on and staying with us on the text line. Dan and KCK, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Dan, how you doing? I'm doing pretty good. I got over the loss, you know. Yeah, the good news is that Worthy had the two touchdowns, 157 yards. And the good news is we stopped Saquon with 57 yards. Yeah. Now, let's get down to it, Dan. Yeah, it's quite obvious. The O-line didn't block very well for Patrick and Fangio only didn't blitz once in four. Now, I'm going to ask you something, Dan. Andy should have just ran it, ball kept running it, gets 4, 5, 6 yards, you know. And what are your thoughts on that? And I was going to ask you, my brother Johnny called in Tupelo, Mississippi. He said that things will be better next year. They just got to draft better and get some offensive line to protect Patrick. So let's get down to it, Dan. Do you think Andy should have ran the ball more even when they just send four?
I appreciate you, man. Yeah, I think there's a lot of positives to take away. Like I said, Dan, you've been the lifeblood, the energy boost of this show for several years now. We appreciate you, man, completing another season, knowing that you were going to be on the board after halftime. Definitely one of the fun parts of this show. Thanks so much, man. We love your commitment to the Chiefs as a fan and to this show as well. Good points brought up by Dan, as always. All right, we got Big T and Shawnee. What's good, man?
Yeah, hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. We appreciate you too, and we love the Players Only Show. Keep up the fantastic work. So first, to answer your two questions, you've heard me call in. I'll talk trash on all damn teams. You've heard it. The Raiders, mm-hmm. You've heard that comment. Sean McDermott. So, yeah, that's okay. That's fine to do all that. It's good, you know. Sense a crap at you, whatever you want to do before the game. But when you're at this in the game and yelling and screaming at other fans, you got that liquid courage. I think that's what a lot of it is, Dana. Not all fans are bad. I think most of our fans in our town are pretty decent, but a few bad apples spoil the whole bunch. So I agree with you on that. You got kids around, so just act like a grown up and act like you've been there. And speaking of been there, how can anybody be disappointed? Sure, you're disappointed with the loss. We wanted to go for that three-peat. The guys came up short, but I take my hat off to them. They had a great year. You know, if you grew up when I grew up, you appreciate this. You got to cherish this, everyone, because this doesn't come around all the time. And when our team loses, this is when you bleed that red, white, and gold, and you pick up the bootstraps. You say, sure, they beat us this time. We'll be back, but I'm going to talk trash on the Eagles. Will they be back? No. And, you know, you went to break. They can't even spell Eagles right.
Yes. So,
you know, that fan base, the Rocky Balboas, hell, screw them. We'll be back. But, you know, it was a great year. I have all the confidence in Reed, or yeah, Coach Reed, Veach, and Pat Mahomes and company. We'll be back. And then, you know, as far as that other question, you're right. On a close loss, it's like a heartache, like a heartbreaker. And in this Super Bowl, it was like a gut punch. But you know what? The Chiefs have been punching everybody in the gut, and we'll be back punching more guts. And as always, let's go Chiefs.
Appreciate you, Big T. Again, same props to you like I gave to Dan. Your commitment to supporting the show every week and the energy you bring. And obviously, there's definitely a lot of meat to what you're saying as well, man. So, yeah, the Eagles fans, they can't spell. I guess there's a part of me that can't respect a fan base that has to spell their name in their cheer. We don't go out and spell Chiefs. We don't need to. We just cheer. All right. Big Jax, what's good, man?
My man, Danny, you already know you my guy, bro.
Appreciate you, yo.
For sure. As far as trash talking, I love trash talking. My favorite trash talk was always, hey, man, take a look at that scoreboard. That was always my favorite. Like, that would end the conversation. But I think that, for the most part, Chiefs fans are just nice people, man. So the most of the time you're going to be at the stadium, why are you yelling at other fans? I mean, yeah, maybe somebody gets under your skin a little bit, but, you know, we're good. So do your trash talking. As far as losing by a close margin or getting blown out, man, I still want the close margin, bro. I want to know we were in the game. I want to know we were out there fighting. I mean, even if we still lost, I'd rather be out there battling to the end, because just like you said, you know, even though you're going to remember those close losses, in my opinion, especially in the Super Bowl, the fact that they went out here and got absolutely smashed, I mean, they got cooked, and that's going to be a long-term memory as well. That, to me, plays a little bit on their overall legacy. So, and then last but not least, man, I love the show. I appreciate you, and I look forward to next season. And we'll see everybody at the Arrowhead Invitational on our way back to another Super Bowl, bro.
Yes, sir. Arrowhead Invitational is still alive and in effect. Appreciate you, Big Jax, my brother, for years, and his support as well. Tyler in Northtown, what's good?
Hey, Danon. Appreciate your all's show. I would love to hear y'all's opinions. I feel like we've talked a lot about Andy. We've talked a lot about Kelsey. We've talked a lot about Mahomes. I feel like the one person that we never speak on much is Nagy. So I'd just like to get your opinion. Or how are we feeling about the offense after this? Do we feel like, I mean, really, you should be the one running the show.
Yeah.
But I think he's kind of overshadowed by Patrick and Andy. I think Brady had the benefit of having a defensive coordinator essentially as his head coach. But at some point, Nagy's got to own up on how things are going. So I just want to hear your opinion on him and what you think in terms of us going forward.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Tyler. Thanks for the call. I think there's enough blame to go around on any loss, but I will say this. This offense, and you guys have heard me say this before, I don't want to be the best team in September, don't want to be the best team in October, don't care to be the best team in November. Being hitting your stride, being your best, playing your best, being your healthiest in December and January is a key to a successful season, whether or not that equates to a Super Bowl win, in my estimation. And we can all agree that the offense, even without Rashee Rice, and after sustaining the injuries of Hollywood Brown, Isaiah Pacheco, having to get DeAndre Hopkins in and on board and involved, having to get Kareem Hunt in and on board and involved as quickly as possible, having the revolving door at the tackle position, sustaining all of that and the injuries that we had to sustain throughout the season, and yet we were better as an offense going into the playoffs and in the playoffs than we were in the beginning. So if we're going to critique anybody, player or coach, about one specific game, we also have to acknowledge the good that happened prior to that to get us to that game. Now, it would be a whole different story if we limped into the playoffs as an offense and we were really, really good in the beginning of the season and it kind of went downhill, but we were able to keep the momentum enough to get to the playoffs. We were good, we got better, and then we were healthy and at our best at the right time, and we got the job done. Let's remember, we scored, how many points we scored against the Bills to to get to the point where we got to? How many points we scored in the playoffs? How many teams we shut down in the three games in 11 days? What we were able to do in winning those three games in that stretch where we could have lost, with two of them being on the road and all three of them being against playoff teams. I mean, we have to look at everything in its totality. So, yeah, I'm sure just like the players, the coaches will go back and reevaluate, look at things. Andy is the head of this offense. It did not matter whether it was Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson, Eric Bieniemy. It's still the same structure in my perspective, and they all took a lot of the credit for the successes, and they're going to take some blame for the losses. That's how it is. All right, when we come back, we'll tackle some more texts, and we'll wrap up this final segment of the final show of Players Only this season.
You're listening to Players Only with Dane and Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, we are back for the final segment of the final show of Players Only. Again, I am Dane and Hughes. You can follow me on X at DAHughesGuy83 or on Twitter and on Twitter at Dane and Hughes. It has been an absolute blast to be a part of this show, be a part of this station. Odyssey has done everything incredibly well for me for these last five seasons, not just here in the studio for Players Only, but also in the booth with Dan Israel, Josh Klingler, and the great Mitch Holter. So I feel absolutely blessed to have this platform, to be a part of this great run, this incredible run, and just an amazing, amazing experience. So the text lines, I got to get to a couple of them before I go on my last little dissertation. Danon from the 913. Danon, one of the biggest problems the Chiefs had during the Super Bowl was the inability to adjust and need to run the ball. Classic Reed ego. I disagree on that part. But I will say running the ball, what ended up 11 times for 49 yards, really probably was seven. I think it was just seven designed runs. I think there might have been three by halftime or less than three. Definitely, you hindsight 2020, you'd like to see the ball run more. But I will say this, and this is not an excuse. I've said it for years now, ever since Patrick Mahomes has taken over and burst on the scene the way he did. One of the tougher parts of the job for Andy Reid and any offensive coordinator that he has is the amount of running the ball. Do I think they should have run the ball more? Yes. But I will say this also. Think of from a simplicity standpoint, the more times we run the ball, the more times the best player in the league does not have the ball. And as a coach, you have to decide how often you're okay with the best player in the league not having the ball and him giving it to somebody else. I know it's more complex than that, but I have to also believe that that's a factor. Think about it. Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the league, has been since he stepped on the scene. Every time we run the ball, he does not have the ball unless he's running it. And how often do you want to do that? 10 times a game? Is that going to satisfy it? 15 times a game? 20 times a game? Split it between Hunt and Pacheco? Like, how's that going to work? That's a dynamic, especially in a game that you're overmatched as they were in this Super Bowl, that you have to factor in. Just food for thought. All right. From the 913 Big Dog, you're going to talk about the film footage of Kelce on a play. People saying he threw the game. Idiotic to think that a player would throw the game. I saw Travis Kelce after the game. There's nothing about him personally that I would ever think of throwing a game. And these are the things that I hate to give oxygen to. It's kind of like the referees and the bias that people were spewing over the past month or so during the regular season and the postseason. Just hate to give oxygen to that. And I hate when former players and people on the airwaves give oxygen to idiotic statements. No, Kelce did not throw a game. He missed blocks. So did everybody. It was just a bad game all around. Yes, I'm sure he is the number one person critiquing himself, and that will propel him this offseason as to whether he plays again and what kind of attitude he comes with when it's time to turn it on. All right, 816 says trade Chris Jones. Going to pass on that one. Draft a running back in the first three rounds. We've shown that we can flourish. I'd like maybe to see, if it's not draft, maybe picking up a free agent that's at breakaway speed might be a good way to go. But dang it, we are at the end of the show, Julio. Oh, man. It's been a great, great run. Didn't get a chance to go into my take on the halftime show. One component that I want to throw out there as food for thought for the listeners. Being entertained, whether you are a fan of the genre or not. I looked through the list of all the Super Bowl acts that have ever been on stage during the Super Bowl. I guarantee you most fans were not fans of Paul McCartney and Shania Twain and several of the others that have donned the stage. But they were entertained. It was entertaining to see Kendrick Lamar and a hundred of other people move around on that stage and be choreographed the way they were, and the fans to be engaged the way they were. So taking race and bias out of it, learn how to be entertained regardless of if it's your type of music or not, because guess what? We have been doing that for years. All right, for Julio, again, thanks to the program director, Steven Spector. I appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you guys both. It has been an absolute blast. Look forward to another season. Again, this is Dane and Hughes with Players Only. We are out until September. Peace. Now when the radical preach come to get me released, we is all on the cold.
You're listening to Players Only with Dane and Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.